I'm delighted to be here tonight. If you have a Bible with you, please turn to the book of Lamentations, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Lamentations. And it is a tremendous honor and privilege for my wife and I to be back at Liberty Baptist Church. We love this church. We love your pastor, and we're so grateful every time we have the opportunity to come back and have a part in the services and the ministry here. I was thinking the other day about our pastor and how much I thank God for him. He's been such a tremendous encouragement and blessing to our family since we left Liberty, and even before, as we got to know each other and as we were talking about the future and praying together. He's always been a tremendous encouragement, but it dawned on me, I was thinking, Pastor, that we were about the same age when we came here. Now, I was a little older. I was 40, and you were you turned 37 right after you arrived here. And so 37 and 40, but I was an immature 40-year-old, and he was a mature 37-year-old. So we were pretty close. And we both had been in the ministry for 15 years before we came here. And I was thinking about some different things. Both of us have good families. Both of us sincerely love the Lord. Both of us wanted to do the right thing. And both of us are sincere in our approach towards the ministry. We both have godly wives and good kids and so many areas. But there was another thing that I was thinking about, and that is that we both are human. We both make mistakes. I make more than he does, and definitely did 25 years ago, 26 years ago when I came here at the age of 40. But we both make mistakes, but we are both privileged to be able to minister in an atmosphere of grace. A church that loves us, a church that is good, a church that is looking to see how we can work together, not how we can tear apart. And so we both are fortunate. I would just want to encourage you. I don't know why I wanted to say that. I was thinking about it the other day, and I just wanted to say, give to him the same grace that I have felt the 25 years that I was here. You were so kind, gracious, loving, forgiving. I made so many dumb mistakes. I'm not saying that he does or he will, but he may. And Karen, Vince, good night. We don't even get into them. All of the different mistakes that I made, it's kind of been that way for my whole ministry. It's just one mistake after another, and God's people have been so good and gracious. I actually was preaching at the first church that we ever started just 2 weeks ago, Redwood Baptist Church, and they were so kind and gracious to us. And we started that church over 40 years ago, and was back and preaching for that church. And I remember the day that I went back there after having been gone, started the church, was there for about 10 years, and then went to China, started the Dayat Singing Thompson Gaoui in southern China there in the city of Hong Kong. I'm assuming everybody here speaks Cantonese. Is that right? I thought you did. And so you know what the name of that church is. But anybody not speak Cantonese? Okay. First Bible Baptist Church. And so next time, get a little sharpen up your Cantonese. But I remember going back there years and years later and apologizing to them and saying, I just want to say I'm sorry for every dumb, stupid thing I ever did when I was here and everything that I ever said during those 10 years I was your pastor. And they were so gracious and kind, and you are were as well for me. Be good to your pastor. Be respectful, be gracious, be loving, and as he is to you, you guys do that to each other, for each other together. I've enjoyed so much the testimonies tonight, and what a wonderful year 2016 has been. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, if we could, please. And I want to read we want us to read together just two verses of Scripture tonight, and then let me just kind of wrap up this last service of 2016 as we think about some things about the faithfulness of God. In Lamentations chapter 3, let's read together, please, verses 22 and 23. The Bible says in verse 22, ready, begin. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Father, bless this time together for this last service of the year. Thank you for the opportunity to be back at Liberty. Thank you for Pastor Thompson, his wife, and his children, and Lord, for these wonderful people. Bless our time together now. May you be glorified. May you give us some things that will help us as we go into a new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I very much love this time of year for many reasons. One of the reasons is that it gives me an opportunity to reflect on God's goodness. It's just kind of a natural time. We have Thanksgiving in November, we have Christmas in December, we have New Year coming up when we look back over the past year. And for me, that just kind of gives me a natural opportunity to look back and reflect on the goodness of God. This particular year, 2016, is especially reflective. because it marks the first full year of my life for many, many years of not being your pastor. And not only was it the first full year of not being your pastor and in 25 years of pastoring here and then leaving a little over a year ago, it was the first time in almost 40 years that I was nobody's pastor. Out of the last 41 years of my, well, last 42 years, now counting this last year, but when I left here a year ago, out of the 41 previous years, 40 out of those 41, I was Pastor Tomlinson to somebody. And all of a sudden, a year ago, a little over a year ago, I left here and I was Pastor Nobody. I was nobody's pastor. And it was the first time, there was one short year in the 41 years prior, there was only 1 year that I was not Pastor Tomlinson. 1 year out of 40. And so all of a sudden I stepped out and I was nobody's pastor. I went from being pastor of a local church to pastor of nobody. Not only that, but we started something that was new and different. Now, how many of you understand that our people and our movement, our churches, are not always receptive to something that is new and different? We have a tendency that if it's new, we don't like it. And if it's different, we don't like it. Not this church. I'm talking about not you. Other churches I'm talking about, of course. Never you. Always somebody else. But Barnabas 1040, the ministry we started, is something new. Now, and it's a little different. It's not the way we traditionally do missions. So all of a sudden, I'm stepping out after almost 40 years of being Pastor Tomlinson. I'm Pastor Nobody. And really, nobody, I'm Pastor Nobody. And I'm going out to churches trying to get meetings and present this new ministry that is not traditionally the way that we do missions. It was a little bit of a deviation from the way that we traditionally do it. Now, it's not a deviation from the Bible. In fact, I believe it's going back to the Bible. It's a ministry of supporting, as you know, national pastors. The missionaries have trained up local individual pastors, led them to Christ, trained them, discipled them, they're ready to go out. And so we come alongside the missionary and alongside that national and help them financially go out and start their own church and take care of their own ministry, not connected to necessarily foreign funds forever. We support them on a temporary basis with the hope and the objective that they will become independent, self-supporting churches at some point. So it's a little bit different, a little bit new. Now, it's not different from the Bible, but it was new as far as going out to present this ministry, and I really honestly didn't know how it would go. I didn't know whether or not I'd be able to get very many meetings and how it was going to, people would accept it, what pastors would think about it, all the rest of it. But let me tell you something. The reason I'm mentioning those things is this. I want to emphasize tonight something that I've learned over this last year, and that is the faithfulness of God. Our God is faithful. He is reliable 100% of the time. He does not fail, falter, change, or disappoint. He says what he means. He means what he says. Therefore, you can trust him as we go into this new year. I want to consider some verses with me tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. The Bible says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. He is the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. Keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Joshua 21:45. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Our God is a faithful God. If there's anything we've learned in 2016 is that you can trust God. God is faithful. In Lamentations chapter 3, our text is actually this entire book of Lamentations, it's a funeral song. There are five chapters in Lamentations. Each chapter is a verse of this sad song as Jeremiah is writing this song about what has happened in Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been destroyed as a result of her sin. God's people have been led away into Babylonian captivity. The city lies in ruin. Dead bodies are scattered everywhere. Disease, starvation is rampant. In this horrible scene, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, writes through his tears this book of Lamentations. Look at how he starts the book, if you would, please. Chapter 1 and verse 1. He asks this question. Now, notice what he says three times in this question. How? How did this happen? Chapter 1, verse 1. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces. How has she become tributary? Jeremiah is saying, how could this have happened? How did this happen? How can it be that the city of the great King David has been destroyed? These are God's people. How could this have happened? How is it possible? Jeremiah is discouraged. He's at the bottom. His heart is broken. He writes this book that we call the Book of Lamentations. Notice we come to chapter 3. And when we come to chapter 3, he is about as low as it's possible to go. He is discouraged. He's heartbroken. He's in bad condition spiritually and emotionally. Notice with me several things as we just kind of wrap up the year. A couple of thoughts from this chapter. First of all, Jeremiah is focusing on his feelings in verses 1 through 20. He starts off in chapter 3 and verse 1. And if you read those first 20 verses, everything is about him, about how he feels, what's happened to him. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He's builded against me. He's compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they be dead, as the dead of old. And he goes on down. These first 20 verses are just like that over and over again. Jeremiah is discouraged. He's focusing on how he feels. We see a man here that is totally defeated. His hope is gone. He blames God for what is going on. He's saying, God, you did this to me. All of these bad things that have happened in my life. God, why did you do this? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt that God was against you? That it seemed like everything that you were doing, God was mad at you. Nothing was going right. Everything is going wrong. And it's like, God, why are you doing this to me? Now, I ask you the question, have you ever felt that way? But I already know the answer. Of course you have. Of course you have. So have I. Many times. So is our pastor. No one's immune from this. We're all human. We go through times whenever we look at life and we become very focused on our feelings and our emotions and our outward circumstances and we become very discouraged with what's going on in our life. Now, let me say this to you. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to express it to God. He knows it already. When you tell God you're feeling, God's not surprised. God, I just feel like everything is again. Really? I didn't know that. No, God knows. It's okay. I mean, you're human. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to express it to God. But listen, it's not okay to stay there. We cannot help but going there sometimes, but you don't have to live there. And Jeremiah, those first 20 chapters, is focusing on his feelings. He's totally discouraged. Then you come to verse 21. This I call to mind, therefore have I hope. His outward circumstances pushing himself towards despair. But then he says, I begin to remember something. This I call to mind. I remember something in my mind, and then I have hope. Therefore I have hope. You see, he forced himself to change his thinking. Instead of focusing on his feelings and the problems, he turned his focus towards God and his mercy, which we'll read in our text in a moment, and everything began to change. Then he had hope. Now, my friend, in order to break out of this bondage of discouragement and depression, we have to change the way that we think. You've heard me say, those of you who were here when I was here, you've heard me say, by the way, I'm always thrilled to come back and see so many people I don't know. Welcome. Glad to have you. We're glad you're here. And it's always an encouragement to me to see new people when I come to church here. But for those of you that were around before, you've heard me say 100 times, the battle of the Christian life is always between your ears. That's where you're fighting the battle. It's in your mind. It's how you think. We get that stinking thinking, and that messes up everything in our life. Jeremiah began to change the way that he was thinking. You know, the people that Gail and I work with through Barnabas 1040, for the most part, they don't think like we think in America. They think differently. They don't think like we think. You see, they live under some of the most authoritative, oppressive societies on the planet. And they just think differently. For example, they do not see themselves as deserving to have everything go their way. They haven't been conditioned through their society to think that they are victims if things aren't going the way that they want them to go. I mean, things really have always been hard for them. So when something comes along that's hard, it's not like this brand new, oh God, what is happening to me? They just think differently. They don't gloss over some of the verses that we do. Like John 16:33, Jesus said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They don't gloss over those verses and think that somehow they don't apply to us. Because of our culture and our background and our upbringing, I think sometimes we just don't get those verses. We I know the Bible says in the world you shall have tribulation, but not me. All that will live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But to us, that just normally means something like, I don't know what it means. It doesn't mean like real persecution. It means like I went to Starbucks and I wanted a pumpkin spice latte and I got it, but the temperature wasn't right. My wife had that happen to her today. She was persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know? She got a, knowing her, I wasn't with her, she probably got a peppermint mocha, decaf, tall decaf peppermint mocha. You might want to remember that if you're ever thinking about her. Tall decaf peppermint mocha. Don't get one for me, but get one for her. And make sure mine's got lead in it if you get me one. She's telling me later she got her peppermint mocha, her whatever it was she got, I assume a mocha. And she said she took a drink of it and it was cold. So she took it back to the counter and she said, this is cold. And the guy said, well, I'll make you another one. So he starts making it. She said, can you make it extra hot? He said, yeah. So she starts making it. And then she drank a little bit more and realized she was just drinking the foam. And then when she got down to the coffee, it was hot. And she said, hey, oh, no, never mind. It's hot. He said, well, I already made it now, lady. Here, you can have two. But that's to us, that's persecution. I paid $4.50 for my coffee, and it's not the right temperature. The people we work with don't think that way. They don't think that they're somehow entitled. They take those verses literally. I think of a man that I knew in China. Lam Hin Go, 21 and a half years in prison. For one reason, he preached the gospel. He didn't think that there was something, God was mad at him. That was just part of life. I've mentioned to you people in Laos, communist Laos, Sin, and the young lady I told you about that when we met her, she said, my name is Sin, but I don't have any. And she got saved and immediately started witnessing, and boom, she landed up in jail for 3 days. Not having any clue what was going on. Dow, one of the guys that we support that was arrested when he was 16 years old for no other reason than sitting in a church service. Spent 30 days in jail. His parents were told, come back and pay X amount of dollars and we'll let him go. And they came back 30 days later and gave him to give the police the money. They said, oh, we changed our money. It's double that. And they said, we don't have the money. They said, well, then you don't get your son until you get the money. Now Dow is planning a church. We support him through Barnabas 1040. I was in Vietnam. I think I mentioned to you last time I was here was in Vietnam, and I met several pastors who spent time in prison. It wasn't, and they weren't bitter. They weren't angry. They weren't thinking somehow that there was something that they had gone through that they shouldn't have gone through. They just think that's part of life. Jesus said, "I send you forth as wolves, as sheep among wolves." What happens to sheep when they get among the wolves? The wolves are not nice to them. In the world, you shall have tribulation. One of the things that I've learned from those people is that God is faithful. God is good all the time. God is good all the time, whether you find the parking spot at the mall or not. God is still good. Whether it rains on your picnic or not, God is still good. And you can trust Him and love Him all the time. From our text, let me give you in these next 5 or 6 minutes, 4 things that I think we can take into 2017. 4 truths we can take into 2017. Number one, notice in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Truth number one, God is faithful to deal with us in mercy. Here's a truth to take in the new year. God is faithful to deal with you in mercy. Now, mercy and grace are not the same thing. Mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. Grace is God blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve to be blessed. In other words, mercy is not getting what we deserve. I deserve something bad, but I don't get it. That's mercy. Grace is getting what I don't deserve. I don't deserve something good, but I get it. That's grace. And Jeremiah said, he looked around all that was around him and he said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You see, we live in a very dangerous world. And it's only by the mercy of God that any of us survive. I mean, God is good all the time. Why was it in Berlin, Germany, instead of Orange County, California, that an Islamic terrorist drove into a Christmas market, killing 12 people, injuring scores of others a few days ago? Why didn't that happen at South Coast Plaza while you were there? Or some other mall? Why was it in Berlin, Germany, and not here? Well, here's what Jeremiah said in verse 22. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. He looked around at all the destruction around him and said, I deserve the same thing. But by the mercy of God, I was not destroyed. Look, as bad as things are in your life, if it were not for God's mercy, they would be worse. If it wasn't for the mercy and grace of God, none of us would have any hope. And Jeremiah, when he looked at his feelings and his problems, he became discouraged and depressed, but then he changed his thinking and found hope. And he began to realize, wait a minute, God's been merciful to me. As bad as things are, it's of the Lord's mercy that I was not consumed. There's a second truth we can take into the new year. God's loving compassion will never fail. Notice he goes on down in verse 22 and says, because his compassions fail not. Now, would you notice in verse 22, the word compassion is the word compassions. It's plural. In other words, not just one compassion, but compassions over and over and over again. In other words, his compassion just keeps flowing like a river. It's like the waves of the ocean that just keep coming and coming and coming. Over and over again, God is compassionate. He will never stop loving you because he cannot stop being who he is. Why are his compassions new every time? Why do they just keep coming and come? Compassions, why over and over and over again? Because that's who he is. One of the things I've been focused upon this year is the fact that God's goodness and blessings have just fallen upon us. And I know it's not because of who I am. I know I don't deserve it. But God just keeps blessing us and over and over again. And we've had so many conversations where I've told him over and over again, Lord, I don't know why you're doing this except it's just you. It's not me. God is who he is. And he's never going to change. Why does God continue to love you? Because he is love. God is love. He is faithful to always be who he's always been. When Jeremiah looked around, the devastation, he found himself in despair. When he focuses on God, everything changed. He had hope all of a sudden. Why? God is always merciful. Let's take that in 2017. As we go into the new year, let's remember that he will continue to be compassionate. His compassions are not going to fail. He will be as loving and as good to you in 2017 as he's always been, because that's who he is. Truth number three, God will meet my daily needs. Notice in verse 23, first part, they are new every morning. They are new every morning. God's mercy and compassion shows up every morning like clockwork. They're new every morning. Now, you remember the story of the manna in the Old Testament? The Israelites would come out, the manna was on the ground, they'd pick it up, but they had to do it again every day. They couldn't gather enough manna on Monday to cover Monday and Tuesday. They had to go out and do it again on Tuesday. Tuesday morning, you get Tuesdays. Wednesday morning, you get Wednesdays. The only exception to that was, of course, the Sabbath, where they would gather enough for 2 days. But God's compassions, his mercies, they're new every morning. They had to gather it every day. The spiritual lesson for us in that is that we cannot live on yesterday's blessings. We need new blessings every day. And that's why it's important to spend time in the presence of God every day. As the calendar flips from 2016 to 2017, I know what many of us are going to do. We're going to make New Year's resolutions. Most of them we're going to have to do with losing weight. But we're going to make New Year's resolutions. We're going to look at whatever it is that we don't like about our life or about ourselves or about our situation, and we're going to make a resolution there. I don't want to pop your bubble on this thing. But the reality is that most of us will not make significant changes because of one critical dynamic resolution. Changes don't happen like that normally. Changes typically take place in 10,000 little daily moments, not one life-altering moment. I made a New Year's resolution. Boom, everything changed in my life. All of a sudden, I was able to push the cake away. Walk away from the cookies. Probably not. Changes come in thousands and thousands of little resolutions and little moments, day after day after day. The verse does not say his mercies are new once a year. No, they're new every morning. That's why it's so important. Get with God every morning. As you go into 2017, make that resolution that I'm not going to try. I don't expect God to just totally change my life overnight. On January 2nd, I'm going to be different than I was on January 1st. But on January 1st and January 2nd, January 3rd, I'm going to spend some time in the book. I'm going to spend some time in the Bible. I'm going to try to read it through every year. Maybe I'm going to do a chapter a day. But I'm not going to let a day go by that I don't spend some time, something in the Word. And some time in prayer. Some time with God. Meet with God every morning. Day by day. His mercies are new every morning. Four truths as we go into the new year. Number one, no matter what my feelings are, God is dealing with me in mercy. God will deal with you in mercy. Number two, God's compassion will never fail. There, it's over and over and over again. Number three, I can trust him to meet my daily needs. He's going to take care of you every day. You made it this far in 2016. You're going to make it through 2017 as well. The same God that took care of you this year is going to take care of you next year, every day. Truth number four, his faithfulness is the only foundation that I really need for my life. We go wrap it up in verse 23. Great is thy faithfulness. What's our anchor as we go into 2017? Great is thy faithfulness. The faithfulness of God is the one thing that you always can cling to. When everything else is gone, you can stand upon the firm foundation and cling to the reality and the knowledge that God is faithful. If 2016 has taught my wife and I anything at all, it's that God is faithful. And just imagine for a moment. Just think for a moment how it would change your life in 2017. What it would do for your marriage, for your children, for your home, for your church, for your community, for your work. Just imagine what would happen if in 2017 you would change your thinking. If you said, I'm not going to follow my feelings. Negative feelings are going to come and they're going to go, but I'm not going to live there because my God is faithful. And I'm always going to stand on that foundation. When I'm looking around and my feelings are telling me that God is against me, I'm going to wait and I'm going to say, wait, hold it. He cannot be against me. He cannot be. It's impossible. How can God be against you? You're his bride. I mean, we're sinful human beings. But I'm telling you, I cannot be against my bride. I'm not going to be against my wife. You ever see that little cartoon? I love that little cartoon. I saw it on Facebook or somewhere. Somebody had posted it. And I showed it to God. I said, that is us. It's the one where there's an old man and an old woman. Now, the old woman would be not my wife, but it would be the old man would be me. Should be an old man and a young woman. But there's an old man and an old woman sitting on a park bench. You seen that? And it's raining. So it's raining on the park. It's raining outside. The old man is sitting there like this. And he's facing away and he's angry. The old woman, his wife, is sitting there like this. And she's facing away from him. She's angry. It's raining. The old man has an umbrella. He's holding it above his wife. And he's looking, and he's just angry. He's just ticked at her. He's ticked off at her, but he's holding an umbrella over her head. And she's sitting over here, and she's as mad as a hornet at him, but he's still holding an umbrella over her head. I showed my wife, I said, man, is that us or what? I don't care how mad I am at that woman, I'm holding an umbrella over her head if it rains. Not pulling my umbrella back, say, go ahead and get wet. Mm-mm, not my wife. And I'm telling you, God is not going to pull the umbrella back from you and say, just go ahead and get wet, you dirty dog. No, he loves you. Amen. He cannot not love you. Not because we deserve it, because he is God. And God is love. One takeaway tonight. Here's the takeaway. Because God is faithful, why don't we make a resolution for 2017 that I'm going to obey him in all things? And I'm not even going to get into what all things might mean. I don't know what all things would mean. But whatever it is, we just take this takeaway that we say, God is faithful. Therefore, as I go into 2017, whatever it is that I believe he wants me to do, I'm going to do it. Maybe it's baptism, it's church membership, it's discipleship, it's tithing, it's, I don't know what it is. But it's changing little by little by little, letting God make those changes in our life to where we can say, I'm going to change the way I think. By the grace of God, little by little by little by little, I'm going to let God make those changes in my life because he is faithful and I can trust him. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your love for us. We thank you for this last service of 2016. Thank you again for our pastor and for the way that you're blessing him and blessing this church. Thank you for all the new people, Lord, that we've meet every each time we come. And then, Father, for those who have been faithful here for many years, God, we just ask that you might help each of us. I pray that as we go into this new year, that we might go into this new year with confidence and with grace and with the confidence that God is faithful. Lord, what beautiful testimonies we heard earlier. It was a faithful year. You were faithful. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us now to stand faithfully upon the foundation of your faithfulness. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Pastor, thank you.